Hi, K-Watchers, it's Leanne.
Hi, everyone, it's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Queen of Tears, episodes 5 and 6.
Guten Morgen, friend.
We spent some lovely time in Germany this week eating schnitzel and falling back in love while villains wreak havoc at home.
How about some bratwurst?
Let's get into it. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
I am great. When we were getting ready to record this podcast, I was coming downstairs. My husband's like, oh, you ready for your podcast where you just make fun of your husbands? So I guess that's become the new tagline to our podcast.
Yeah, my husband definitely complained about the content last week. And I was like, you know what? I'm so sorry. But when you're married to a podcast star, we have to feed content to the tens of people who listen to us. And
you
you're
guys
part of
feed
it.
It to us. The husbands feed it to us. You know, what can we do but make fun of them?
We'll try to stay away from husband bashing this episode.
Okay.
Although I think half of the listeners are our husband's friends who listen in just for these stories.
That's
and get
right.
very entertained from them. We have a rainy day today. It's a Saturday. I'm thinking of going to the city with my kids, to the MoMA.
Oh.
Get some culture. I have too much like Korean drama in my life. That's the only culture I'm consuming these days. I do need to go actually.
A little more highbrow.
See some art. Yeah.
Right. Well, I took my son to the city this week. I took him out of school. We went to a science museum and it was great. And like we got pizza, we got ice cream. Just great time to spend together. But I have a funny story and it's very classic me. We live in an area where crime is rampant. And I think in California, especially, crime has been very high.
And it's like petty crime.
It is.
It's like breaking into your car, maybe like stealing your backpack, that
yes.
kind of crime.
So yeah. I've always been aware and conscious. I don't leave things out. But my son was at the table. I was going to go to the bathroom. I left my bag there. And in the bathroom, I thought, oh, I should have taken my bag. Why did I leave that? Because he has a Rubik's Cube. He's not paying attention mm-hmm. to what's happening around him.
And even if someone came up and took your bag, your son would be like, okay, yeah,
yeah,
sure.
I guess that's part
happening.
Of the payment for the pizza. Like, he would have no idea. And I didn't warn him to yeah. be like, don't let anyone take my bag. So I go to the bathroom, come back, and the girl that had taken our order immediately leaves out of the restaurant and kind of glances at me. And so I thought that was a little bit weird. But I dig into my bag, and my phone is gone.
Maybe she was like, oh, is that Juliet from the K-Watch party? I mean, isn't know, that how you exist point, in the world now?
The way that my brain works is either everyone is looking at me because they know me from the K-Watch party or they're stealing from me. So I look into my bag and my phone is gone and I cause a ruckus. You know, like I don't throw a fit, but I'm talking to the guy at the front who's, I think, the manager. And I'm like, hey, my phone is missing. I see there's cameras. Can you take a look to see what happened? He's like, you know, the owner has to be here, but let me do this. Like, I'll log into my iPad and we'll ping it. And he said, let me call it. And he's like, oh, it's going to voicemail. And then he's ringing it and he's showing me the radius of where it is located. And it's behind the restaurant, 50 feet from my car. So I'm like, okay, it can't be my car because it's farther away from than my car. Long story short.
I am on pins and needles right now.
It must be in someone's car. Is this anyone's car that you know? And I was like, by the way, where's the girl that was working earlier? Oh, can I talk to her? I just want to know if she saw it while I was here. So I do my best. I just kind of swallow it. I just figure, okay, I have to get a new phone. I'm going to just let it go. And then we get ice cream, go back to the car. And
no,
my Justin Bieber song starts
no.
playing from my phone. And I'm
no.
like, oh, wait, what? The Bluetooth connected?
No.
I realized the phone is in the car because oh, it's no. obviously playing from my Bluetooth. And I was like, huh. And my son's like, are you going to call the restaurant? Are you going to call the restaurant? And I'm like, yes. And then finally I do it and I call. And he was pressuring me. Of course I was going to call to tell him. But he was like, you said you were going to call. Are you going to call him? Like, yes. Hold on. So I call and I was like, I'm very embarrassed to say this. I found it. And the guy laughed so hard. But I felt horrible afterwards because in my mind I was like, it's that girl. And she came back from her lunch and I stared her down.
Oh my God.
But she also was staring me down. I was like, damn, she's bold.
She just knows you from the K-Watch party. You almost accosted our fan.
Oh my gosh.
And accused them of stealing your phone. I like that your son is a good citizen.
He really is.
He's going to keep you accountable. He's not a good bystander.
No.
Fool does not know what's going on around him, but he is an upstanding citizen when it counts. He's keeping your Karen in check.
Oh, you know, by the way, yesterday you and I went to this thing and
Like an event.
We went to a jewelry event and I had taken a necklace that had broken because my daughter, of course, ripped it apart. I go to the associate to ask her, hey, can you fix this necklace for me that I'd bought from the store? And at first she was like, oh, it's going to be $30. And then later she says, oh, actually, it'll be free. I just didn't think much of it. But then the owner tells us, hey, that associate listens to your guys' podcast, the K-Watch Party. So I thought, did she give it to me for free because she's a fan?
I think it might be because I know the owner very well, which is the reason why this girl even knows about the K-Watch Party. Perhaps we're getting subbies.
That's right. 1+1.
Subbies. I'm glad you didn't end the story with you found your phone and you were so embarrassed you planted it in that associate's at the restaurant, her worker's bag.
I have a lot more integrity than that.
Well, we know who doesn't have integrity is all of the villains in Queen of Tears. These guys are going to any length to try to set up our heroes in this story. So let's get into it. We have episode 5. Hyunwoo cries a lot in this series. So I started a cry count.
Oh.
It should be like a shots game where we're just shooting Soju every time this guy cries. And he cries so good. So cry count for episode 5 was 6 times. I counted. He like full on teared or...
Just episode 5?
Just episode 5.
Whew.
6 times. He must have been so dehydrated filming this show.
I think he is an elite actor.
Elite.
He is so good.
We start the episode in the country. She's been found after her episode. They've kind of come back together a little bit. They're in his old childhood bedroom. Just really like cute couple-y things to try to push them back together. Like the hair dryer won't work.
Yeah.
So he ends up drying her hair. Is that romantic to you?
I find it a little emasculating to the man. And there is a really cute TikTok Korean girl in the Bay Area whose dad is always drying the mom's hair and like styles it for her. But the dad is like, he seems, you know, masculine. And
wait, so the dad is styling the mom's hair. So
the daughter is always recording it and posting it.
Oh, it's every day? Does the mom not, her arms
She doesn't
not work?
Know how to do
Did she have frozen shoulder?
No, she doesn't. She just like doesn't know how to style her hair. So her husband does it for her. Yeah. Something about it being your romantic partner doing that to me does not.
It doesn't feel romantic.
Romantic.
It's pretty cute when he does it for her, but also I felt very awkward. He's taking care of her scrapes.
And then, with the same band-aid that he had when they were in high school.
He leans in for a kiss. Here's another drama trope. The kiss is never 50-50. Like, always one person has to move in 100%. Never together do they come and kiss halfway. Yes. He is the one moving in 100% this time. And before they kiss, he just suddenly runs away. She's like, he must have an errand. I feel like that's something you would think. Like, there's no way this guy doesn't want
to
kiss
you. Yeah, I'd be like, do you have to poop? Like, what happened? How could you not want to kiss me?
Exactly. So he's just scared. He's got all these feelings.
He's afraid of falling back in love with her.
Right. It goes against his plan. So he avoids her all night long. And again, another drama trope where they just cannot communicate. He just, like, cannot say what he's thinking. Gosh.
Although, I guess that's how a lot of relationships are.
That's true.
Right? You never really say what you are thinking or what you're feeling. And our lives would be so much easier if we just said what we were really thinking.
Yeah. And you're talking to me, the worst communicator ever. So we do in this scene see a flashback scene where we see the day Hyunwoo moves out of their shared marital bedroom. Now we see that, you know, the miscarriage has happened. It's right after. And the movers are taking all the nursery furniture and stuff like out and just like basically taking it away.
Based on Hane's instruction. So yeah. She said, clear that room out.
And he was not advised about this. He was not consulted. And then he goes down to confront her. She's on a work call and she just dismisses him. And she's like, why do you want that stuff? Just looking at it annoys me. And he's just can't believe how cold she is. And so he tells the maid, move my stuff out into that room.
But then he goes into the room and sees that she left. It must have been intentional.
No.
You don't think so?
No. I think they just forgot it. I think the cleaners were not good.
I was thinking it was an intentional thing that she left that as a memory. Mm. And so for him to see that, he thought, there's a piece of her that's still tender.
Huh.
But
I think it was bad cleaners. You can't get good help these days. Well, I think what was interesting was that you see in the scene now that he's freshly moved into this old nursery is he has two luggage out. So they like moved his stuff with this luggage. And I had noticed previously in like present day scenes that the luggage in his room is still out.
Oh, so he's like, just living out of suitcases.
But I mean, I'm sure it's all in his closet, but right. They should be stored away. And I think they're out to be seen as like, he keeps thinking he's going to move back. Like any day now, he's going to need these luggages to move back. And he's just had this thought for so long. And of course, they're just gathering dust in the corner. But like the luggage being out is like symbolizes kind of his want to go back into that shared room.
Oh, that's deep.
Right. We spent a lot of episode 5 with her just pissed off at Hyunwoo because they don't talk.
As a third party, it's so interesting to watch this because this is classic in any relationship, right? Where like you can't say what you really want. And then on the flip side, the other person should recognize that as sort of like a call for help or attention, call for connection rather. Mm-hmm. And yet we just like put up this wall because we don't want to be the one to make the first move.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it seems so simple when you watch that.
I know, but also just you can see how much space has.
Yeah. I can actually now understand how this delta has been created. So I'm learning a little bit about being open and communicative through this relationship. So I was at dinner and your husband was there last night and we were talking about golf and how I've been picking up golf because I want to play with my husband. Mm-hmm. And then my husband goes, you never said that. You said you wanted to play with your son. And I was like, well, I would never say that to your face because like, that's just, you think I'm desperate for your love and attention? Okay, I'm not going to say that. And your husband's like, why can't you just say it? Huh? Just say it. I'm like,
I know my husband and I play tennis every week now together. And then we go pick up the kids together. And it's very noticeable by the other moms on the playground that they're like, oh, you guys do pickup together. You guys have a hobby together. So I think it's actually a thing that a lot of couples search for is a hobby that you can do together.
Yeah. I mean, my mom says I should do it because otherwise he'll meet other women on the golf course.
Okay. I've seen how women dress on the golf course. No one's luring your husband away, I think, on the golf course there. A lot of what we see in episode 5 and in 6 is what the villains are up to. Eunsung, David the dog killer, he's playing everyone super easy.
Could this be the dumbest chaebol family in Korea?
I think they might be. Haein's mother has let him move onto the property. She's so desperate to get him near the little son.
Yeah.
So now he has access to everyone's homes. And we actually find out there's a tunnel that that connects everybody's homes. And it was the chairman's idea. So that's a nice little Easter egg possibly for future, I don't know, sabotage.
How could they just let him know about this?
Just walks him around the whole place. Yeah. He also is wearing this long ass suit jacket. I mean, he's just dressed like a villain. It's so great.
Yeah. But you know, they don't make him enticing enough to like, you know, like typically you would make somebody like that charming enough or say Haein, but he's just a villain. He's so blah.
Right. Which is why I'm always like, why is Haein letting him so close to her?
Right.
Because he's so villainy.
And they don't have flirting energy between the two of them either.
No. So actually in the one scene, Haein is supposed to meet him for a Hyukina meeting in the mall, but she has an episode in the hallway and he kind of like catches her. And you know, he puts his arm around her and holds her up. And then he takes her into the elevator and she brushes David the dog killer's hands off of her. But I'm not believing that she doesn't see how badly he's acting. He ingratiates himself with the chairman. The chairman is obsessed with Napoleon.
What is the symbolism behind that? I looked up Napoleon a few times. I'm like, what is the parallel here?
Napoleon was born into like a very regular family. I don't think he was as poor as the chairman makes him out to be. But due to his military skills, he rose the ranks of the French army. Mm. So I think there's like this myth of Napoleon coming from being very dirt poor, but he actually wasn't. I mean, the chairman is short like Napoleon, but will he be exiled as well?
Right.
Eunsung gives the chairman a painting of Napoleon that he owns. Definitely a fake. Get that shit appraised.
Again, how dumb is this family? They're like, okay, yeah, you got me a historic painting. Like, yeah, just hang this up.
Yeah. Of course, there's a hidden camera in it. Dummies.
Oh, and then they bring in some IT guys to fix the camera. How dumb can you be?
Cameras keep breaking in this house. Right. Nobody else is concerned that the cameras keep turning off and on and all these strangers are just coming
in. And you just
in.
Let them all in. Like, that is so classic. Someone's coming to hack you.
Yeah. The other villain we catch up on is Mo Money Mo Problems, the chairman's girlfriend. She is showing her true self.
Okay, not to keep belaboring this point about how dumb this family is, but the Como, the aunt, she decides to get a background check 20 years later.
Yeah, I know. Finally.
Huh?
Finally, some members are waking up to the trouble that's happening around them. But she gets wise to Mo Money, Mo Problems because they're in the kitchen.
Yes.
Crazy aunt overhears Mo Money, Mo Problems telling the chefs like what to cook for the chairman. Yeah. And that, like, we learned that Mo Money, Mo Problems has been making sauces and stuff, like, hand-making things outside of the chefs.
I mean, yes, you were right. Because last week, you were saying he does not look well. And she's probably been poisoning him little by little.
Right. Crazy Aunt, I think, is also insinuating. I think she's just, like, saying that to piss her off. But I think it's meant for all of us to be like, oh, crap, Mo Money, Mo Problems might be doing this. That's one of the details, like, of this show that's so good. They're very intentional about how they place.
Yes.
Nuggets, right?
Right.
Nothing's ever like too convenient. Everything is like well thought out, all the actions.
And in that scene where the chef was saying, hey, so this person lived until she was 112 and she only ate sweet potatoes. So make sure we incorporate sweet potatoes. So I looked up the name that they stated. And in fact, this person was American, loved sweet potatoes, lived until 112. She doesn't claim the sweet potatoes were the reason she lived for so long. But I was like, man, they do so much research for every detail of the show.
It's so quite great. Impressive. Actually, I had read a long time ago that there's a town in Japan.
Okinawa?
I don't know. It's a town where all the people look very young. And they say it's because their diet mostly consists of that Japanese sweet potato.
Sweet potato.
Is it Okinawa?
Root vegetables. It is probably Okinawa. There is a Netflix series recently about blue zones.
What are blue zones?
Blue zones are where there are a lot of centenarians.
Yeah.
And Okinawa is one of them. Somewhere, maybe Sicily or somewhere in
the Mediterranean.
Sure. Loma Linda, where there are a lot of Seventh-day Adventists. They don't eat red meat or even meat at all.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Mostly vegetarian. The series is fascinating because it talks about the diet. But I also read that the study for centenarians was around Alzheimer's, actually. Mm-hmm. So the people who are able to live long and not have Alzheimer's were the people who have very active social lives. So they said it was varying with diet and exercise. So that wasn't the common theme. It was really people who had in really meaningful social interaction. So you will likely live until you're 112 and just eat some sweet potatoes and you'll be good.
Yeah. So the research in this show is impeccable. Crazy Aunt is confronting Mo Money, Mo Problems. Mo Money, Mo Problems sends the chefs out, locks the door, takes a gigantic, like the hammer looks like it's from Thor.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Throws it to smash the camera. Yeah. And then just starts beating up on the aunt.
I was so sad because the aunt, Como, she folds so easily.
So easy.
That hurts. That hurts.
She's just a rich lady.
Yeah, she's a rich lady with a loud bark.
She just kind of tweaks her arm and then punches her in the stomach. Aunt goes to Chairman, her dad, and complains about it. And Mo Money, Mo Problems is like, I did it. Chairman's just like, I don't want to hear this anymore. Mo Money, Mo Problems shows the extent of her control over Chairman in the scene. Because he won't even reprimand her for punching his daughter in the stomach. So speaking of family members that are finally waking up, Hyunwoo, who has been smelling something fishy since the Boargate accident. We're calling it Boargate now.
Boargate, love that.
He's finally showing some smarts and he's working on his own. He takes a car dash cam from the scene.
The SD card.
Yeah, and then it's been wiped out. He takes the SD card to some random shop and is like, hey, can you try to restore this for me? And then he leaves. He never gets to see the SD card, but we see the SD card.
Because David the dog killer finds out about the SD card and goes to the shop.
Right. But we see on the SD card, before it's taken by David the dog killer, is that the person who poured the corn is...
the dumb brother's wife.
Yes.
That was a big twist. We suspected last week that she... was going to be like a sub-villain, but she's in on it.
Oh, she's deep in on it. And you thought she was just some hostess at a bar and she's trying to hide her past. I mean, truly, she could have been.
She could have been because it turns out that her and David, the dog killer, were orphans at the same orphanage where you see the chairman giving a speech to all these orphans and more money, more problems is sitting in a chair on the side watching.
Yeah. So it's not clear in that scene. So we definitely see the chairman in the worst wig ever. They're trying to make him look young. Impossible. Mo Money Mo Problems is sitting there, but we're not sure if she's there as his attaché or if she's part of the orphanage.
Right.
So we're still not clear.
Right.
I think last week we both had theories about the relationship between Eunsung, David the dog killer, and Mo Money Mo Problems, the girlfriend. I posited that she's probably his mom. You posited that they might be sleeping together.
I think you were on the right track because we find out through the background report that Mo Money Mo Problems had a different name. She was in prison. And while she was in prison, she had a son.
Mm-hmm. And the timeline matches up right with Eunsung. So it appears that this is a mother-son duo.
That's right.
And it appears that they've been in each other's lives for a long time because she was there at the orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
So that connection's being made. Now the connection between David the dog killer and Dumb Brother's wife also being made. So all three of them now are in cahoots with each other, as well as Grace, the butler, who is still just sowing discord in this family. I mean, like, how deep does this woman's duties go? Because there's a scene where Hayne's mom and Hayne's sister-in-law are at a spa kind of thing.
Yes.
And then you think, like, oh, they're going to go in and get their spa treatments. But no, Grace the butler starts giving Hayne's mom a head massage. She also the family masseuse.
But she obviously, she has a very close relationship to the Dumb Brother's wife.
Yeah, she's very casual the sister-in-law, right? So Grace the butler is using this opportunity to feed lies again to Hayne's mom, who will just believe anything.
She tells the mom that Hyunwoo found out about the will and that now he's upset about it.
Right, which is a lie. So that's kind of like villainy stuff in episode 5. Episode 6, the tumor is the forefront of the story. It's an immune cell treatment called CAR T-cell therapy, which again, to these writers' credit, it's an actual thing. She's at her normal doctor's office in Korea and she comes storming out and right out there as they're making the scene, crazy aunt sees them.
Yes. She had gotten a cast because she had been hurt by Mo Money Mo Problems.
So now that crazy aunt knows that Hayne is going to Germany, crazy aunt's the one who tells Hyunwoo.
Like, why wouldn't you go with her? And then it also shows up when she's with the Dumb Brother and he's eating the mountain ginseng. That's the thing that I was eating when I had my cough.
Did it come in a regal box like
that? Yeah, and then I also had to use a special cleaver to chop it up.
Yours came from Amazon.
No, mine came from a store in Buena Park.
Oh, really?
My mother-in-law sent it.
He must be so virile from that ginseng. But we find out he's actually had no babies.
Yeah, his little baby is most likely not his.
It's definitely not his. We'll get to that. So crazy aunt is telling Hyunwoo, like, why aren't you in Germany? Hyunwoo is just so in the dark and he's so dumb sometimes. Like, I thought he would immediately jump on the plane, chivalry, just go. He kind of like stews on it a little bit. And so we're thinking, oh, he's not going to go. And then we're in Germany. Who knew it was the land of romance in Germany?
We just thought it was the land of bratwurst and schnitzel.
So we see her in Germany. She's getting rejected from the trial. She's now at the palace that they were at on their honeymoon, wearing just the highest heels you've ever seen. I would say she doesn't look like a tourist, but I've definitely seen Korean tourists.
Korean tourists, yes. Decked out.
Wearing very inappropriate clothing at tourist destinations. Heels on the Great Wall of China. I've seen that.
What?
We were just at Zion National Park. Okay. No, they weren't wearing heels, but this was a Korean couple at the top of the rim. You know, everyone comes to Zion and you hike down into the canyon, you come back up, you know, mud is everywhere. This couple, even my mother-in-law saw them and rolled her eyes because the guy was dressed in this really nice blazer. They had like white sneakers on. They stood out.
But were they going hiking or were they just there to take a picture?
They were just there to take a picture.
Right. Koreans are the kings of doing things for the gram.
Yes, truly. Oh. They're the originals.
My parents, they're much more adventurous. So when they travel, they like, you know, go hiking and whatnot. But they were saying that some friends of theirs drove all the way to Oregon, had packed their rice cooker and kimchi, didn't get out of the car once, stayed at the hotel, ate their kimchi and rice and soup, and then drove back home.
Yeah, so she's inappropriately dressed for this tourist site. And she's resting her feet, taking her shoes off, and who comes running up the stairs?
Mr. Hyunwoo.
Like Cinderella, replacing her shoes with some sneakers.
Some Roger Vivier. That was a heart fluttering moment for me.
I'm just happy your heart fluttered. Finally. It was great. They actually have a real ass conversation.
Yeah.
And he's like, you make me cry a lot. And she wipes away his tears. They kiss 50-50. They
yes. Both get that was a that good kiss.
They kiss. They hug. This scene, no notes. Loved it. I was like, ooh, okay, are they falling in love? It's only episode 5.
Oh, I was like, they're going to fall in love in real life. How are they not? This is going to be Son Ye-jin and Hyun-bin.
Yeah, I mean, it could. The writer has a very good track record.
I feel like their chemistry is so good that this to me feels real.
But it's so interesting because, you know, a lot, you see a lot of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And a lot of the behind the scenes of other couples where they've had these theories about, like, they're very flirty. In between scenes when they're like kind of just waiting, there's a lot of slapping and, you know, like side conversations. I don't see that as much in the behind the scenes with these two. Mm. I've read that Kim Ji-won is very like professional. But you know it's a good drama because when you come out of it and you are
suspecting.
Yes. That means that there's good chemistry here. I was like, oh my gosh, they're in love. It's episode 5. This is how naive I still am after yes, so right. many. I've watched right. so many of these. Like, I should know better.
I was anxious all through number 6 because I just knew this was gonna, they were gonna take 5 steps backwards.
I know. So episode 6, cry count was only 2 because okay. he's happier in right. episode 6. They're in Germany. It's like a German tourism ad.
Yeah.
It's like Germany is just markets.
Yeah, Germany. What an odd place to film this. You don't get kind of like that romantic feeling out of Germany.
No, you get Schlesien-Heidensachsen. Maybe they got some tax breaks. We spend a lot of time in Germany with the two of them. She gets to have this therapy, but as she's waiting for the injection, she has another hallucination.
Yeah.
And she's seeing her eldest brother. And we learn what happened with the eldest brother.
I can't believe this is the first time she's told him this. But it turns out that when she was 9 years old, they were out. This must have been on a boat, but it must have been very soon after they visited the orphanage because I think she was in the same clothing. Mm. And she had fallen into the water and then her brother jumped in to save her. And when she came to shore, her brother was missing. They finally were able to get him, but they couldn't revive him.
So now we see why her mom basically hates her.
When my brother was about 3 and I had to be about 6, we had a pool in our backyard. And I, of course, had to go to the bathroom and I was hungry. So I asked my mom to take me inside. She takes me in and my brother, being the mischievous one that he is, took off his floaties.
Oh, no.
And he drowned.
I told you this story.
Yes. And then my mom doesn't even know how to swim. And she had so much adrenaline. He was all the way down at the bottom of the deep end.
God.
Grabbed him, and I still to this day remember his eyes were like in the back of his head. She was like hitting him on the back, and he like started to throw up a lot of pool water. Called 911, and they're like, if it was like a few seconds more that he was in there, he would have been
brain dead.
And I don't think about it all the time, but I carry it with me a lot because of my dumb, hungry ass that I was like, oh, we have to go inside and eat something. My brother could have been either dead or just a vegetable.
Wow.
So in some way, I can understand why the mom carries that so deeply with her and why Hain.
Right. It's her own guilt that she's also projecting on Hain, right? So while they're away, shit is going down back home. Hyunwoo's name is getting smeared through the mud back home. Grace the butler brings in all these, you know, quote unquote TV repair guys to come into the house. But really, she's just bringing one guy in so he can open the safe.
Yeah.
And they find
the divorce papers.
Yeah, I mean, another instance of Hyunwoo just being dumb as shit. Like, you have a divorce draft with this family, you shred that shit.
Well, you have a copy on your hard drive. What are you doing?
But he did show smartness in this episode.
Oh, that's right.
When he
tries to call the IT office and he's like,
where he's left the hard drive of the car dash. Yep.
Like, what's the status? And the phone is no longer in service. He sends his friend and he's like, hey, go check out the office and see if the guy's there. And the friend's like, oh, there's the office is closed. Everything's gone.
Yeah.
So Hyunwoo realizes, okay, the family, someone's tracking him. Someone's figured this out. And he tells his friend, go to my car that is parked right in front of the storefront.
Great he move. Left his car. They got the little black box. Gonna see Eunsung going in there. So finally, a smart moment from our Hyunwoo. So to get the family to see the divorce papers, they do this whole crazy setup where they bug the whole house. And conveniently, Mo Money Mo Problems, the girlfriend, finds the bug. So now it looks like Hyunwoo has been spying on the family.
And there's video evidence of the chairman talking about the embezzlement. And so the chairman now is like, oh, so he's the one that turned me over to the prosecution, isn't he?
And then they're like, hey, look at the safe, guys. Who knew it was here? Chairman's like, open it now. And they find the divorce papers. It almost feels like the divorce paper is more shocking.
Yeah, I was like, why is that a shock? You all knew that they did not like each other and were fighting all the time.
Hayne's mom is desperately trying to call her. Hayne is just like, I don't want to hear this. But then she can't deny this divorce paper, ooh, which is now cacao'd to her, yeah, by her mom. And so we end the episode.
Well, he had gone out to get this bouquet of Lucky Charms, of four-leaf clovers, because she had bought one for herself, and he had a big bouquet. She had doner kebabs in her hand. He had a big smile on his face. And then as he's crossing the street, she gets a text message, sees the divorce papers, and he hands the bouquet to her, and she slaps it out of his hand. Classic.
The doner kebab just on the floor. Really, I was mostly like,
I know, oh, I was the kebab. The last two kebabs. Oh, kebab after a night of drinking in Germany is the best thing you could be eating.
So that's the end of episode 6. Their happiness was not for long. I hope he actually tries to explain himself this time instead of running away.
Yeah. But what it did for the couple is it reignited something in them to recognize that I actually really love this person. And yeah, we did have a connection.
I mean, you know, it's hard to watch these villains kind of succeed against Hyunwoo. You know, like, it's one thing to like succeed against the Queen's Group chairman who's embezzling funds. To take down such an innocent like Hyunwoo just to get him out of the house, it feels so terrible that they're smearing this guy who is the best out of all of them. So we'll see what happens. One thing that I noticed was the dad, Hayne's dad, has a pet snail. But it's interesting because there was another reality show I had watched before we started this podcast called Heart Signal.
Yeah.
And in Heart Signal, one of the guys has a pet snail.
What?
Yeah. And it's a white one like that, like a giant white snail like that. And he brings it to the Heart Signal house.
Okay, what a freak.
But I thought he was a freak. But then this guy has a snail. So is maybe pet snails a thing? Or I was thinking, do these rich people raise these pet snails for their own snail masks? Organic.
Oh my God, that would be brilliant. Okay, now I need one.
And they're like raising salmon in their backyards for the salmon sperm.
So salmon sperm.
They're just cultivating their own beauty treatments. Anyway, I thought that was interesting tidbit. Is this pet
that
snail
is very
thing.
Interesting and strange. When we were at the museum this last week with my son and I, there were a bunch of koi looking fish, and it said that centuries ago the Chinese and Japanese had bred these fish to look this way, to have like really massive foreheads and like different features that you wouldn't see normally like in nature. Strange. But it was, I think, the royal families that would do this. So you're probably not far off. So in the epilogue, though, we get this scene where it tracks back to a previous scene in episode 6 where she tells Hyunwoo, like, oh, you know, your first love is someone who, like, you just want to be around all the time.
This happens on the German train platform. And it's a whole conversation about first loves. And this is such a Korean drama trope. Like, the jealousy over the first love.
Right.
It's so annoying.
It really
Nobody does this in real life.
Do you think it's exclusive to Koreans?
I don't know.
That they're just, like, obsessive about their first love?
Although my daughter did at the table the other night say to me, like, Mom, did you have other boyfriends before Dad?
Oh, God.
And then I was like, yeah, sure. Not that many, but yeah. She asked her dad, who's had a lot more girlfriends than
really?
I had boyfriends.
Wait, that's shocking to me.
Little known, but that fool was kind of a player.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I guess it doesn't surprise me.
But like in the minor leagues. In the minor you know? So I guess some people still care about first loves, like little girls.
Little girls.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Koreans really care about first
loves.
They're
so obsessive about it.
Anyway, you were saying. They're on the
platform. Yeah, so she was a little jealous about his first love. But she's referencing somebody and he's like, oh, it sounds like you have experience with this. And she says, oh, it was just somebody on the bus. You see in the epilogue that actually it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And she would make her driver follow around the bus that he was riding in.
Like a real creep.
Yeah.
Are the epilogues a little bit of a cheap device?
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, let me just like tack on things I can't fit into the story on an epilogue. So, you know, it feels cheap, but also it's a lot of window into like their past lives. So we really appreciate it. So that was episodes 5 and 6. We are so behind that they're actually now releasing special episodes that are airing in Korea today.
What?
And tomorrow. Yeah. And I don't know what it's going
to
be.
You know, this also goes to show the power of netizens, because sometimes, I'm not sure if that was the case here, but sometimes writers are pressured to
keep going
because the netizens want more, or they want a different ending or something.
Yeah. So maybe next week we'll do 7, 8, 9. So we can just start catching up with everybody else in the world who's way ahead of us. The other only interesting thing that happened this week was Kim Soo Hyun released his version of the OST for the show.
Koreans also love, their actors love to pretend like they're singers.
Oh, yeah. You see so many of these fan meets and they just get up and sing. And they're not
very good.
No, but he's actually okay in this OST, okay.
It's a little bit of auto-tune.
Yeah. I guess the last time he did this was like 10 years ago. So it's a big deal that he would sing for this show. I definitely swooned over the music video. It's very romantic. Yeah, so another great 2 episodes. We will be back with episodes 7, 8, 9. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.